Staying ahead of the competition can be tricky. That's why you need a partner you can trust. Allied Solutions' strategic relationships in the auto dealership market have been designed to enable you to serve the multiple stakeholders within your business and to provide your customers with the best-in-class solutions. For over 40 years, Allied Solutions has helped their clients grow, protect, and evolve their business. With over 20 million monitored auto loans and more than $220 million recovered over the last 5 years, Allied Solutions will help you move the needle. Visit them online at AlliedSolutions.net. That's AlliedSolutions.net.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Auto Remarketing Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Zulovich, part of the team at Cherokee Media Group and senior editor of AutoFin Journal and Subprime Auto Finance News. This episode of the podcast, pleased to welcome back Don Jasinski, who is the founder of Automotive Personnel. Don, it's great to share a conversation with you again. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing really great, Nick, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You do a great service for the auto finance community, keeping us informed and educated on what's going on, and I'm honored to be part of it again.
Well, thank you. Thank you for those kind words. And as our listeners might recall, our last conversation focused a little bit more on the personnel situations involving finance companies, but for this conversation, focused a little bit more on how dealerships are finding the people that they need to be successful and to start our conversation. And from the get-go, forgive me for asking me to date yourself a little bit, but how different is a successful dealership salesperson now versus when you were running your own store? What characteristics now are needed to be successful at today's dealership?
Hi, that's a really great question and a great topic, because things have really changed a great deal on what dealers need for a good salesperson versus what they had years ago. You know, back when I got started, and I got started right out of college, so we're talking, you know, in the late 80s or so. Back then, we were always looking for people that were, you know, just like a very aggressive type of person, or at least assertive. They had to have really good product presentation skills. You know, the physical walk around, open up the hood, point things out was important. And strong closer. Now, we're always looking for people that are strong closers. Very light on technical skills. In fact, when I started working with auto dealers back then, I would often hear something like, I like people that were wrestlers in high school or football players because they got that tough mindset and they don't back down. They were looking for that. Well, I have to tell you, Nick, it's totally changed. It's been turned right upside down. Now we're looking for people that are very technical savvy. Everything's internet-based, so people have to have really good skills with, you know, the PC and how to deal with people online just as much as in person. Even with auto dealers, much of the transactions are online now, even before someone comes in or if they come in and don't buy. Most of it is all done online or over the phone. So it's a different type of skill set. And certainly, they're not looking for that aggressive type of person that borderline pushy. Our culture has changed, and I have to tell you, the buying public doesn't follow. Good follow-up skills are also going to be something that I think are very important.
Very nice. Very nice. Definitely takes that cliche of blocking and tackling mindset in a very much
very
a
well
direction. Well, in light of what you just shared, how difficult now is it for dealerships to recruit candidates with those attributes? What have been some of the paths that you have suggested to dealer clients?
Well, you know, really any position that a low base pay and retail hours, it's always hard to attract and keep good people. You know, the upside of the auto business is you could still make a really good income if you work hard at it. But I think dealers need to keep in mind there's a lot of competition for these good workers, and think about supply and demand. So one of the things I talk to clients about is let people know that you're going to be trained. I mean, you've got to bring some type of value to that person. So a person that might come in and be looking for a sales position, they're going to compare you not just to other dealers, Best Buy, places where maybe they're going to be selling cell phones and things like that. So keep in mind, there's a lot of competition for these good people. So let them know the value you're going to bring, the training, who's going to do it, what skills we're going to get. Let them know where advancement might come from. One client we have, they're a very large buy here, pay here. And when I was talking to them, they mentioned that almost 60% of their managers started out as an employee and eventually became a manager, 60%. So I said, you know, you should put that in every job posting you have, because that says you've got a real career path for someone. That's the kind of person you're looking to attract. Another attraction to the auto industry that you're not going to really get with the Best Buy or phone company or somebody else you're competing with is, you know, after a few years, you can build up a portfolio of clients. So a wife comes in and buys a car, and 2 years later, the husband comes in. A year after that, they need a car because their oldest child is going off to college. You know, they're going to come back to you. And after you're selling, if you're in the car business for a few years and you're good at it, you can get a really nice portfolio of people that come back. That's where they could really start making a lot of money. So I recommend talking to candidates about the value you could bring to their career, and that's just part of it. And if I can point out one other thing, whenever I get a call from a salesperson, maybe they saw me on LinkedIn, they say I own a business, and they might see if I'm interested in buying a vehicle from them. Well, they always call themselves sales consultants. And I like that term, sales consultant. But I have to say, you've got to put some teeth into that. A consultant is an expert at something. And a consultant should help you learn something so you can make a better decision for yourself. That's what a consultant is. It's not just a title. So I think any salesperson working for an auto dealership, they have to have some, it's on them to really build a depth of knowledge so they can really add some value to the buyer. This is just kind of interesting. And I was thinking about this and had conversations with people. You know, people are buying cars online now without talking to anyone and enjoying the process. So if they're going to be talking to you, are you going to really just be an impediment to that sale? Are you going to be adding value? And I think if you truly want to be considered a consultant, you need to be an expert at what you're doing so you could help the customer, you know, bringing value to their interaction with you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, definitely hope we're bringing value here on this episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast featuring Don Jasinski, who is the founder of Automotive Personnel, and talking about how dealerships are finding the personnel that they need to work with today's car buyers. And Don, as you referenced a bit, not only in our conversation now, but in past conversations as well, just once a dealership hires that new staff member, what do they need to do to cultivate that person so they can thrive? You mentioned training. Along with that, what are some other components that you have seen to work well, that when that new member joins the team, they can be a shining star, so to speak?
Great question. What I've taught my clients is, you know, let's pre-hire. So before you hire the person, it's really that 80-20 rule. 80% of it, Nick, really come from hiring the right people in the beginning. And what I mean by the right person is, first, I think it's very important to hire people that really like, but by their nature, they like to talk to and interact with people. Often, you're looking for that salesperson that really wants to make a lot of money, and that's great. But if they want to make a lot of money and don't really like talking to people, I tell you, it's not going to be a long-term career for someone. So first, people that you're, you know, just that you're interviewing, you could just see they enjoy the interaction, they like talking. So that's a plus. Again, when you're hiring someone, I think somebody with a good positive attitude is very important. There's something about the auto industry, and it's probably true of other sales type position, where there's a lot of negativity. And maybe it comes from hearing so many people say no to you, and maybe they get negative. But I think people with a good positive attitude are very important when you hire them. When I got started in this business 33 years ago, some very savvy, smart dealers taught me this. They always say, I'll hire for attitude over anything else. I'll teach them their skills. I'll help them close deals. But bring me people with good attitude. I don't care what their background is. And they would create really good salespeople. Someone who likes talking to people by nature, good positive attitude. Another thing that I think is really important is hire people that are career-oriented, not job-oriented. You know, job-oriented is that person might be thinking, you know, I sold copiers for a while, now I'm going to try selling cars. Hey, see how that works out. That person isn't committed to their career, their success. They're not committed to putting the work into it. And I could tell just by the way they answer a question like that. People that are career-oriented are going to come back, Nick, to that term value, if I can. A person who's career-oriented is going to want to know what value going to work for you is going to bring my career. Person thinking like that, I love, because now I know they are thinking, they are career-oriented. They're going to do the things they can to try to be successful. Unfortunately, a lot of sales managers don't know how to respond to that. So somebody would ask, well, why should I come sell cars for you? You know, I go to Best Buy, or I can get into selling copiers or whatever. That's a great question. And you should have an answer for it, because I alluded to some of the reasons earlier. Unfortunately, most sales managers get put off by that. They're thinking, well, I'm selling to you now. That's not the case. Career-oriented people are going to be asking questions and probing to see what the value is coming to work for you. Who's going to train me? What are my opportunities to advance? Those are great questions, but unfortunately, most sales managers don't understand that and they don't look at it that way. Also, once they get hired, so you know, now we're past the point of who you should hire. Let's talk about once they're hired. I tell you, Nick, it's real important to provide ongoing training, skill set, going over with the group. Here's the situation that came up the other day with Bill. And, you know, let's talk about when this comes up next time. You know, how can we handle it? What would you do? So make these learning processes and make them fun, and you'll find people respond to them. I'm going to talk about something else that I think is really important too, and that's holding people accountable. One of the things I've learned, and more so on sales floors than in corporations, most sales managers don't do a good job holding people accountable. Often when we were asked to replace a sales manager, one of the questions I would ask is, you know, how do you follow up on people that don't buy a car from you today? You know, statistics show X percent are going to buy a car in 24 hours, X percent in 72 hours. So what's your system? I found a lot of dealers or general managers, I don't think you really have one. I guess we call people. I could see right there part of the problem. You're not holding people accountable. So one of the things that I believe is really important once a person is hired, they're going to know what needs to be done, and they're going to hold people accountable for it. It might be how many appointments you're going to make per day, or how many calls, how soon you're going to get back in touch with somebody once they leave the store if they didn't buy. After a person bought a car, you get back with them. They like the car, they're all happy. You're going to be asking for, you know, who do you know that might be buying the car? A friend, neighbor, coworker. There should be a system, and the salespeople have to be held accountable for doing it. Otherwise, your average person, it's just their nature, they're going to start cutting corners. And they're going to become very average very soon if you don't hold them accountable. And can I share an example of something, Nick, that I a real eye-opener for me?
Yes, please.
We placed a lot of regional managers with subprime auto finance companies and warranty companies, lead generation companies. And I tell you, this kind of dawned on me after talking to so many of these people. The regional managers that were always looking for a job and never making enough money and never happy, when I would be interviewing them and I would ask them, you know, tell me a little bit about the management style. What was consistent with these underperformers is they would say, well, I don't micromanage. They would say that with like a strength, almost a boldness. Well, I don't micromanage. Train my people, stay out of their hair. At the end of the month, we start going over numbers. But I don't micromanage. And it just kind of dawned on me after a period of time that whenever I heard this, it was always for regional managers who were low performers, always looking for that next job because their current one was never good. When I talked to managers that were high performers, and again, this just kind of dawned on me after a period of time, and I'd be interviewing them and I'd say, you know, tell me about your management style. And one of the things that was just a commonality, again, with all the high performing regional managers, is it always start out with a phone call and everybody's on the conference call in the morning. Part business, part motivation. They'd call out Mary for doing such a good job bringing in that Ford store that's going to bring in X number of dealers. You know, let's congratulate Mary. And people would clap on the phone for them. It'd be half, you know, the rah-rah, half business. But everybody had, they knew at 8 a.m. they're going to be on the phone call. Secondly, they would communicate with their reps throughout the day. The regional manager would usually be out riding with one of the reps in the city, but on the phone with other reps too. And it might be something very important, such as you were at the Toyota store 2 days ago, but we didn't get any paperwork in. You know, tell me, what are you going to do to get back out there and get them as a client? We really want them. You know, tell me what you're going to do. Rep out in the field would know, oh, okay, you know what? I don't want to forget that. I've got to get that Toyota story. We really do want to bring them in. Manager's asking me. And it's going to, you know, be a, you know, kind of like a reason to get out there. They might be asking something as simple as, hey, you know what? We didn't get that title back on this car. Get out to the dealership. See what the problem is. Go out and get that title. We need it. Get the paperwork. So they're on the phone talking to people and seeing where they are throughout the day, following up on issues. Another commonality of these high performers is at the end of every day, all their field salespeople, typically called area sales managers, would have to, you know, log in and put down what they accomplished for the day, what didn't get done, and who are they going to call on the next day. So they weren't going to kind of make it up when they got up in the morning. They know by the close of business who they're going to call on the next day. Regional managers would answer my question with some version of this were always high performers. The ones that started out by saying, well, I don't micromanage, I know right there, the next thing, or soon in the conversation I'm going to hear, they're not making enough money, they're looking for another job. So I think it's time that we kind of revisit what the term micromanagement means, because I think you really have to hold your people accountable, especially if you're bringing in, you know, rookie salespeople that haven't sold before, they haven't sold cars. You know, don't wait until they fail or something goes wrong and you get mad at them. You know, hold them accountable throughout the day, where they are, what they have to do differently. Ask them, you know, tell me what we're going to do today. We only have 2 appointments for today. What do we have to do to get the third one? And again, not being belligerent, but asking them and having them participate. I think if you follow these rules, hire the right people, hold them accountable, train them, I think you're going to usually put together a very successful sales team.
Very nice. Again, our special guest here on this episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast is Don Jasinski, who is the founder of Automotive Personnel. And Don, yet again, so much great insight and recommendations to help dealerships of all sizes find the people that they need so the entire store can be successful. So to round out our conversation this time around, just You alluded to it a bit already, but maybe what's a recent client anecdote that you can share that has resulted in a positive situation, both for the dealership and the candidate, especially as you articulated earlier in our episode about how different the sales process is nowadays in light of remote deliveries and online communications and such. What's been a quote unquote happy ending for both the store and the candidate here recently?
Like, sure, there are a lot of them. And let me tell you about one recent that was, I think, a very good example. It was a new auto dealer. So this person was successful in another business and always wanted to be an auto dealer, sold their business, and had just enough money to buy what he called, you know, a terrible store that needed a complete overhaul. So there wasn't a lot of blue sky, and he went in there really thin and could barely get the store, and it was only available because nobody wanted it because it was such a mess. When he started to look into it, as the dealer now, he found out it was a bigger disaster than he ever thought. And now he started to get scared that he sold the business, what did so well for him all these years, and he bought this dealership, and it was such a mess, and he was at a loss of what to do. So somebody referred him to us, and he called me up, and I could just hear in his voice, you know, the trepidation. What did he do? Did he make a mistake? And he's telling me what a mess it is. The CSI scores are horrible. If you check them out online, you know, all these bad things are said. Sales, and this is a domestic store, they were doing 15, 20 new, you know, 12 to 15 used, and they should have been doing, you know, like 90 and 90s needs. And I remember him saying, who's going to want this? So I learned a very good lesson many, many years ago. There's something called candidate mindset. And I think one thing that's helped our firm be very successful is I stumbled across this one day. And I noticed people could have a similar looking resume, but that doesn't mean all good for the same job. Mindset is very important. And my interpretation of my naming of this, I found that there are three, and this is what I teach my recruiters and I taught clients. The first mindset is that person that's very stable and they want to come into a situation and stabilize it and keep it running well. They'll make smart day-to-day decisions. They're going to be terrific managers, but don't hire this person to really raise the bar or fix a mess. Person that wants everything to be nice and steady. Great if you have a person retiring and things are running well, you bring this person in, they're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to look to overhaul things. They're not going to make unpopular decisions. They're going to see what's going on and they're going to keep it running well. Second type of person, and I just call them a star. That's the person if their nature to raise the bar. And no matter where they go, it's a service manager, a body shop manager, a sales manager, a general manager, they're going to want to come in and raise the bar. They're going to push them. You know, they're going to train the salespeople. They're going to hold them accountable. If they aren't performing, you know, they'll get rid of that person to bring somebody else in because they're looking to raise the bar in sales, gross profit, whatever that would be. Don't take that person and put them in a situation where you want them to do nothing other than keep it running smooth. They're going to leave in 6 months because they're going to be unhappy. The other type of person, Nick, is I'm just going to call that person a hero. That's the person that wants to take on a mess, make all the unpopular decisions, make big changes, you know, change the advertising company, change some of the managers that are non-performing, you know, make these unpopular decisions, change pay plans, whatever it takes to turn this department or dealership or company around. So if you think about an example, go back to Lee Iacocca when he went from Ford to Chrysler. And Chrysler was bankrupt, losing money. And he came in and wanted to take this disaster and turn it around. That's his nature. So what we were looking for is that hero mindset. And I told the dealer, I said, relax. I explained to him, you know, that stable type, the star type, and the hero type. All we have to do is get that hero mentality that's going to come in, and they're going to love it. They're going to want this job so bad. I remember him saying, Don, who is going to want, I can't afford to pay somebody what I need to come in and do all this. I said, they're going to make it up on the variable. I said, just trust me. So we started interviewing. And when I started talking to GMs, I told them, this is a new dealer. They're going in really thin. It's a terrible store. It should be good, but it isn't. CSI, horrible. Staff needs training. Probably half of them have to go. Bad reputation. Not selling. If you tell this, most GMs are going to laugh at you and want nothing to do with it. But as soon as you come across that hero type, Nick, they're salivating to get into this. Just what they're built for, to go in, fix these things. So sure enough, came across a great candidate, talked to the dealer. They got along great on the phone. The candidate wanted to fly in right away, talk to him, look around. That weekend that he was there, he said, you know, hire me, here's what we're going to do. Dealer hired him. Happy ending is within 60 days, they stopped losing money. They were profitable at the end of 90 days, marginally profitable, profitable. At the end of 6 months, Nick, CSI, new car sales, used car sales, F&I, service, they were ahead of what the manufacturer wanted them to be at. So everybody was happy. So the point I try to teach people is you don't know what the mindset of a candidate is when you're looking at the resume. It won't tell you. So you have to talk to them and probe and get somebody where this truly is attractive to them. I don't care if it's an absolute disaster. It's going to turn off 99% of the people. But you tell people this is a disaster that needs to be turned around, and you're going to find that candidate grueling to get into this position. So I think that's a really good lesson for everybody out there. There's more to it than what their experience is. It's their mindset. When they come in here, what do they want to do? Keep it stable and not make changes? Are they going to push to raise the bar? Or do they want to make wholesale changes? If you hire the wrong mindset, they'll be a good employee, but they're not going to stay with you very long.
Very nice. Great lessons for sure. Again, here with Don Jasinski, the founder of Automotive Personnel. Don, thank you again for the great wisdom and anecdotes about the navigations of finding the right people for dealerships. Thank you again for being part of this episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast.
Well, thank you, Nick. And again, thank you for what you do for our industry. You're a wealth of knowledge, and you share your knowledge and you keep us informed. And again, you provide a terrific service, and I'm honored that you asked me to be part of it.
Thank you again for those kind words, Don. And if you're looking for more knowledge, definitely go to our website at autoremarketing.com. And if you click on the podcast box, you'll find our library of past episodes. For fellow hosts, Bill Zedite and Joe Overby, as well as our outstanding executive producer, Matt Rice. I'm Nick Zulovich. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you again next time on the Auto Remarketing Podcast.
Staying ahead of the competition can be tricky. That's why you need a partner you can trust. Allied Solutions' strategic relationships in the auto dealership market have been designed to enable you to serve the multiple stakeholders within your business and to provide your customers with the best-in-class solutions. For over 40 years, Allied Solutions has helped their clients grow, protect, and evolve their business. With over 20 million monitored auto loans and more than $220 million recovered over the last 5 years, Allied Solutions will help you move the needle. Visit them online at AlliedSolutions.net. That's AlliedSolutions.net.